Amen. You believe that?
Amen.
Amen. He is speaking to us. The living God. We're here together, this body, and He knows every one of us. He saw you walk up the stairs or take the elevator. He saw us when we were sitting at our desk this week or working around the house, and He knows what we need. And it's a miracle of God when we come together and He feeds each one of us where we are at our level, right where we need. What we need today. That's a miracle. He does it, though, and he is the chief shepherd, knows right what his sheep need. And He'll just keep growing us up and growing us up, and life can just keep getting more and more exciting until we'll just walk off into glory. If He doesn't come back or if He comes back, whoa. Sky will split, and here we go into heaven. Thank God. Praise God. Are you ready? Well, Ephesians 2:19, let's look on your sheet there. We've been talking about built together, just about coming together as a church and some different facets of that. And Ephesians 2:19, 22, we've started there the last several weeks. Let's read that. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. In Ephesians 2:22, verse 22 there in the Williams translation says, you yourselves in union with Him, in fellowship with one another, are being built up into a dwelling for God through the Spirit. We're being built up. We're being built up. You know, I just see like a building being built up, one stone on top of the other, one brick on top of the other, being built up into something. We're all parts of it. Corporately, we're all being built up into something. You know, as the universal body of Christ, locally, we each have a place. We're being built up. And then in our families, we're being built up. And then individually, we're being built up. As we are in fellowship with Him or in union with Him, in fellowship with one another, we ought to just keep growing. For the Christian, there is no downside. There is no over the hill for a Christian. Well, we're going up, but now it's just all downhill from that. That's the way the world thinks. That's not for us, though. Yes, our bodies may get older, can't do things quite used to do. That doesn't mean our life has to go down. That just means we just use some common sense and we don't try to do something, you know, a 15-year-old or a 20-year-old could do. But as we go, we know more about Him. We know more about walking with Him on this earth, and we're stronger, and we're healthier, and we're better, and we ought to just keep growing up, being built up with Him. I mean, the world looks at it, boy, all the glory days are gone. Wish I could go back. Let me tell you how it used to be. But now all I have is to look forward to, you know, just fading and going off in the distance, you know, and poor me, and life is bad. That's the world. That's not godly people. You look in the Bible, people got stronger. And they went off, and then when it was time for them to check out, they just pulled their feet up into bed and said, we'll see you, family. And they went on to be with the Lord. And they left a good testimony and a good inheritance for their children, and they went on. Amen? That's how it ought to be. How it ought to be. Just leave a good testimony. And so we're all being built up together. Just change your expectation. Don't expect bad. Don't expect things that that will get worse. Well, I'm just this age, or this happens, so this has to happen. No, it doesn't. That's the mercy and the grace of God. If we blew something, if we messed up something, if stuff didn't go quite right, we can say, God, I see I didn't know, I didn't do that quite the way I would have. But thank God, I know You. Lord, if I messed up, I'm sorry. Lord, help me go forward and show me what to do to correct this going forward. and I can still have a fulfilled life, a good life. God can restore what the locusts have eaten. He can restore things back to us, and we can still go on strong. Just get back where we left off. Amen? Amen. Somebody needs to hear this morning. Don't let the enemy whisper in your ear and say, it's too late for you. You messed up too bad back here. You can't get back on now. You just have to deal with this the rest of your life. You may have to deal with some circumstances, but that doesn't mean your life can't be good and God can't restore. He can. He is the God that's more than enough. Men may not be able to. Men may say, too late, no way, no how. All they're saying is, we don't know. But that's a different thing from being impossible. There's a whole lot of things people didn't know how to do 100 years ago that we know how to do now. That didn't mean it was impossible at 100 years ago. It just means our knowledge wasn't there. But we know the one who knows all. And he sees around every corner and he says, that's easy. This is all you have to do. Now just stick with me and believe me. Do what I tell you to do and we'll get you there. Look at me. Listen to me. Trust me. And we'll get you over the hump. And we'll just bring you out of this earth with a good testimony. Amen. Change your family line forever. Don't ever say, my kids, they're just messed up. They're too far gone. Well, I don't know why they don't get their head on straight. They may be doing some things that you don't see that are the best, but speak faith and love over them always. When you talk about them, it's not lying. You're calling those things that be not as though they were. You see them the way God sees them, and you speak over them the way God sees them. You say, no, they serve the Lord. They are strong in the land. They are mighty. They are quick. They are sharp. They are of good behavior. Amen? Amen. No matter what you see, isn't that what we say in every other? It doesn't matter what you see your body doing, you speak the word. Well, just because you see your child doing something, don't go, oh no, that means they're good. The devil will play you a video of what he wants you to see and how it's going to turn out. Yeah. Don't look at that and say, no, that's not what I see. I see what God says and this is the way it's going to turn out. God is on my side and my children will serve him. They'll be mighty. They're getting stronger every day. My lineage is going to serve the Lord and be strong in the land. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Faith. Believe him. Don't talk that other. Don't say, well, I guess it has to be like this. I don't care what so-called experts say. If it disagrees with the word of God, throw it out. And just go with God's testimony and say, yeah, they may say that, but God says this and I choose him. I'm going to go with him. Thank you, Lord. Pray on your sheet there. This is where we left off last week. Luke 6:46. Says this, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. Now, we're not going to recap everything, but what we are saying is, notice this. What's he saying? Because sometimes this is misconstrued. We talk about the man who built his house on the rock versus the man who built his house on the sand. What is the rock? Notice the word says what the rock is right here. He said, he who hears my sayings and does them, I'll show you whom he is like. He, the man that does my say or hears my sayings and does them, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Somebody, you hear the word, you say, God, you said it. I believe that. I'm going to act like that's true and act on that word. Nothing can prevail against that house. Notice that we are a house. Corporately, this church is a house. Your family is a house. Your individual life is a house that God is building. When you hear what God says and you say, that's the way it's going to be for me, I'm going to do what that said, nothing. The Bible says nothing can prevail against it. Stuff will come. The Bible never said that because we're a Christian, because we believe the Bible, that things won't come against us. It just says the winds will blow like the big bad wolf. You can blow all day, but it's not going to knock my house down. Why? My house is founded on the rock. I believe God. I'm doing what he told me to do. I'm acting on it. And there's nothing good that's going to stand. It says, but he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now notice, the guy that heard, but he didn't do anything about it. Hearing has nothing to do with your results, just hearing. If you hear it, people hear things all the time. Hearing is not the same as doing. Well, I heard that. I heard the word. So? Well, I don't understand, God. I heard the word. I didn't do anything with it, but I heard it. I sat here, and now this came into my life, and I don't understand why everything got blown down. Well, I heard that taught. I heard that word, but I didn't do anything with it. That's a deception. And a lot of people are looking for this. In this society, what they want to hear is, it doesn't matter what you do. You'll get the same results as anybody else. Do you see this in the workforce? I want to get paid what the CEO gets paid, but man, I don't want to have the responsibility. Man, I want to do what I want to do. I want to show up when I want to show up. I want to, you know, just be doing whatever and hanging out with everybody, but I want to get paid the big bucks. It doesn't work that way. It's directly corresponding most of the time to your responsibility or what you can bring to the table. That's just the way it is. But people say, well, I just want to get paid and I want to sit at home and surf the internet all day, but I should get a paycheck. That's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. That's against the Bible. We're not going to go off on that. No, there is something we need to do, and that's just do what he told us to do. Now, he would be unjust if he told us something to do that was too hard for us to do. And that's never the case either. When he tells us to do something, it is something that we can do and that we have the ability to do, and we can act on it. Because you can get over what happens. Sometimes people just say, well, that's just too hard. I can't do that. And so I want it this way. I don't want to hear that I have anything to do with it. And so like we were talking about last week, people have itching ears. They go over and they want to hear something that tells them, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you believe. Everything will be the same no matter what. I will tell you, if you take that approach in your life and with your family, you will not have the results of the Bible. No, knew one person that said, you know, I just believe children should just find out for themselves what they should believe. Just like I did. I just, you know, I grew up and I just don't think we should influence them at all. We should just let them find their own path. That's what I did growing up. And then this person's children have turned out exactly like them. What do they believe? Well, I don't know. I just believe whatever. What the adult, what the parent taught them is exactly how the kids turned out, regardless if they think so or not. The person didn't have any strong beliefs, didn't have any strong one way or another. The children don't have any kind of strong beliefs one way or another. But if we'll put the word into our family and put the word into ourselves and do it, we'll have the results of the word. Amen? Let's turn over to James. Now, our flesh doesn't necessarily want to hear this, but it's the truth. Our flesh really wants to hear, it doesn't matter what I can do, I can sit here and as long as I hear it, I don't actually have to do anything, but I'll get the results as if I was doing it. How many of you think that works when it comes to like eating food? I can eat whatever I want to eat, I can sit on the couch and do nothing, and I will have the same results as the guy that's working out and eating healthy. People want that, right? And our flesh wants that. Man, I'm different. I can eat whatever I want. It doesn't affect me. Well, sooner or later, it'll catch up with us, right? And if somebody were to come to you and say, I don't understand it. Look at me. I don't understand why I don't have, you know, the body of this guy that plays professional sports. I don't know. Well, what do you do during the week? Well, I sit in the desk all day. I never do any kind of physical. I'm not saying this to beat anybody up, but no, if you saw somebody, I don't do any kind of physical activity whatsoever. I eat whatever I want, as much as I want, all the time. I don't understand why I don't have the results of somebody that professionally disciplines themselves for a living, plays professional sports, has trainers, and does things all the time to make sure he's in peak condition. I don't understand why I don't look the same. You would say, buddy, you need a doctor. You don't need a different diet. You need to go to somebody to examine your head because you don't understand certain things. You don't understand cause and effect. But Christians, and spiritually, we'll do this. We'll say, I heard the word. And then we won't do anything with it. And we'll sit there and we'll wonder why things aren't working. And you know what the devil will come and tell you? It's God's fault. It's God's fault. I'm not trying to meddle here, but I'm going to say this. Because it affected me a long time ago. This one guy said this. You know, somebody will say that, well, this is just the body that God gave me. I heard one guy say, he goes, you better be careful. What you're saying is that God ordained every bit of exercise that you didn't do over the last 30 years, every piece of food that you put in your mouth, that was all God, and this is how God made me, and I'm going to be proud. We got to be careful because what we end up saying is that it's not my fault, it's God's fault. Right? That take and if we're not careful, what we come into is a no-fault religion. What we call a no-fault religion. It's not your fault. It's not my fault. And that's why people start saying things like, I don't know, God works in mysterious ways. We don't know how he works. You just never know. You just never know what God's going to do. You don't know what the results are going to be. Well, no, we know what the results. God told us what to do, right? He told us in the word what to do. And so any area of our life, if we look at it, the first point is we have to say, am I doing what I know to do? Am I doing what he told me to do? And if I'm doing what he told me to do, then I stay in faith and say, God, I expect your word to come to pass. But if I look at it and say, yeah, he told me to do that 10 years ago, but I didn't really want to do it, but I'm just going to sweep that under the rug and I'm still going to believe everything's going to be fine. It won't be. Did you hear me? That's just the honest to God truth. That's what the word teaches. But our flesh wants to say, it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter how I behave. I am just going to believe God that I'll have the results. That's rejecting his word. Now in James, he says this here. James 1:22. James 1:22, he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We're easy to deceive. It's easy to deceive ourselves. Do you notice what happens, what James is saying here? Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It's so easy to say, well, I'm doing everything I know to do. Listen, if we're doing that and we're saying, I don't know why nothing is working, I'm doing everything I know to do, and usually the implication is it's God's fault. Something is wrong. We've deceived ourselves. We've deceived ourselves into thinking the problem is not me, it's God. Now, we know that's not true, right? We know that's not true, but the devil is subtle. He doesn't say it so black and white. He makes it subtle to where it's just like, well, we're doing it. Anybody in my situation would do the same thing, and it's not my fault. Now, I'm not trying. Please understand me. We are not saying, because people will twist it this way, this is hard. This is hard preaching. This is law. This is bondage. No, it's not. It's freedom. Is this the New Testament we're reading? It is. What God's way of doing stuff is not hard. If we'll just do what he told us to do, we'll have the results. His His yoke, it's not hard. He doesn't push you down and say, you have to do this before I'll even talk to you. That is more of the Old Testament was the way that we had to do these things before we qualified. In the New Testament, Jesus has bought and paid for certain things, but we still have to take them. And we still have to do the word. If we don't take it and say, yeah, I believe that, it won't be ours. And if we say, I've heard it and I don't know why it's not working, we're deceived. And we can go years blaming God and saying, it's not working, it's God's fault. It's His fault. I don't know. Why isn't that working? I don't know. I'm believing. I'm doing everything. Not working. It's God's fault. That's not true. And it's deception. And when we come out of it and say, God, all right, this isn't working. What was I supposed to do? And He'll bring you something back and say, remember, I showed you to do this. You tweaked this and you swept it under the rug. What do we do? Sorry. I missed that. I'm doing it now. I'm getting back now. And from this point forward, you tell me to do something, I'm going to do it. And that's, we can live life just being built from one step to another, just growing, getting better and better and stronger. That's the way it ought to be. We ought to go through life just getting stronger and better. But when we shirk and say, not anything I've done, I don't know why everything is just going into the wall. It's not me. So I'm just going to stay here. That's darkness. We've deceived ourselves, and now darkness comes. Confusion comes. We're like, what's going on? I don't know why. And what? We deceived ourselves. We got to where we said no to something He was saying to do. And when we said no, it wasn't unjust. It wasn't hard. It was just that our flesh doesn't want to do some things. Now, I'm only talking about things that He's told us to do. If we don't have the light on something, then don't get concerned about it. He's not saying, you know, if God has spoken to you and brought something, because how many of you know there are lots of things that we're not doing right now, and if He told us everything at once, it would crush us. If He told you everything that any one of us, everything we're doing wrong right now, we would go, take me now, Lord. I'm done. I can't fix all that stuff in a day. But He won't do that. And people try to make it sound like, well, that's law or that's bond. No, it's not, because God's unjust if He would do that. What we're saying is willfully disobeying what He's told us to do. And people say, well, I'd never do that. But it's very subtle. The enemy's subtle. He'll come and just get you to put off something God told you to do and just say, it's not important. I choose to believe this. That's a step into going over here to darkness, to where stuff starts not looking right. You just, I don't know. And then, you know, that'd be like your child. You tell them to do something, and they act like they didn't hear you. Well, I didn't know. They come back, well, yeah, did you do that? Well, I didn't hear you. And you know darn well you sat in front of them and told them point blank, this is what you're going to do, buddy. You would say, no. That's not the reason you got it done. You did not want to do it. Oh, I've been there up there 45 minutes, and they still haven't made their bed. Well, I didn't, and they're playing the computer. And you would say, wait a minute. I told you to do this. Right? And we're like that sometimes. We hear fine, and we're like, well, it didn't hear. I don't want to do it, and I just go over here. I think I'll start doing this. And then we sign up for something else at church because, well, I didn't hear that, but I'll do this and this will look real good and this will buy me some points and maybe God will forget about what He told me and I'll just do this area because I like this area, right? But it won't go away. Just let me tell you, God is a very patient God and He'll wait our whole life. If He tells us to do something, the best thing is, okay, I'm going to believe that, I'm going to do it. James said, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. That's what everybody wants for the results, right? What did he say? Just if we'll look into this, and as God prompts us, say, yes, sir, I'll do that. By your grace, I'm there. I'm going to do it. Now, we're not talking about perfection. If we're going to mess up, just like your kids could mess up, right? If they're doing their best, they did their best to carry out your orders, and they didn't do it perfect. You go, you jerk. You're so stupid. You couldn't do that. No. Hopefully we don't do that. Would be abuse. I mean, that would be very hard. But if somebody did something and they did their best and you said, oh, you didn't understand that, but you did the best you could, you would see their heart and say, here, let me show you how to do it better the next time. But thank you. I see your heart. You're doing an awesome job, right? And you would tweak it, and then they would just keep going on, and next time they would be stronger, and you tell them to do something and they would carry it out and they would do that, but they might leave off something else, and you go, that was awesome, man. You did way better than last time. Hey, let me show you this over here. And next time they're stronger and they do that and they do this and they do that, and you see how they just keep getting stronger and grow? That's the way we ought to be. And that's our Father. He'll just keep saying, that's awesome, son. That's awesome, daughter. Now, hey, have you seen this over here? Here, move this over, because this is going to make you even stronger. This is going to even help you more. And he said, we'll be blessed in whatever we do. But somebody that says, oh, I see what you want me to do. I don't want to do that. I don't see how I can do that. I'm just going to sit here. If you're, like we said, if your son or daughter did that, you would say, you need an attitude adjustment. It's not about you doing everything perfect. You just don't want to listen. And it will not go as well for that child as it will for the one that's doing their best, even if they don't do it perfect. See, people have made it that, well, you're just saying we have to be perfect in anything. No, no such thing. God looks on the heart. He's a merciful and good God. But there's a difference between doing something perfect and rebelling. And just saying, I'm not going to do the word. I'm not going to do what God's showing me. Look on your scripture sheet. In the Living Bible, the same passage in James, it says, and remember, it is a message to obey, not just to listen to, so don't fool yourselves. For if a person just listens and doesn't obey, he is like a man looking at his face in the mirror, and as soon as he walks away, he can't see himself anymore and remember what he looks like. But if anyone keeps looking steadily into God's law for free men, he will not only remember it, but he will do what it says, and God will greatly bless him in everything he does. I'm not going to get off into this right now, but God has the right to bless us. Why? Because we've submitted to him, and legalities are involved. You do what he tells you to do in the earth. He has the ability. How can he do something for you differently for somebody else unless you did something different than somebody else? Otherwise, he's unjust, right? But if we'll do what he told us to do, he legally can come in and say that person's blessed, because he said in his word, the person that does it will be blessed. But if that doesn't make any difference, then he has the obligation to bless everybody the same. Otherwise, he's unjust. There's a difference. Look over on your sheet there in Hebrews. Let's just go over to Hebrews. Hebrews 3. Thank God. Let's turn to Hebrews 3 in the Word. Hebrews 3, verse 7. God is so good. He just has such a great plan for all of us, and he'll just keep bringing us up. But the enemy is subtle. And he will not come to you point blank and make it look clear that it's him trying to influence you. He will come through feelings, through rationalizations, through circumstances, and make it look like you have a very good reason for not obeying God. And people do this all the time. And they come and they rationalize a way to do something differently than God told them. And this is what's so subtle and sneaky, and that's why we have to be on guard. Because I don't think anybody in here, if you were to say, I'm openly rebelling. You know, I came up and say, how's it going? Well, I'm openly rebelling against God. He told me to do something, but I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. Nobody in here would think, nobody would do that, right? I mean, in your right mind, you would not do it. And as we talk about this, it looks like, I would never do that. Who are those people that do that? But you know, there are many people that it's subtle. And in our own lives, we have to be on guard because the devil is sneaky. He's been around for thousands of years. He knows how to make it look like you're not disobeying God, that you are completely justified in doing what you're doing. And then things aren't working, and we're saying, but I know I'm doing everything. But if we'll look at it, we say, oh, no, actually, I know he said this, but I had a reason. And so surely he doesn't expect me to still do that, does he? And this is how he works. This is how the enemy gets in there and wiggles his way into our lives and our families. Look at Hebrews 3:7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Let's turn back to Numbers. So see what he's looking at, what he's talking about here. Just go back there in the word Numbers 13. Numbers 13, verse 1. Everybody there? Numbers 13, verse 1. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. Now before this he said, this is the land I'm giving to the children of Israel. This is a land flowing with milk and honey. The promised land that he's bringing them to. And Moses says, here, let's go spy it out. The Lord tells Moses, send men to spy out the land of Canaan. Notice what he says, which I am giving to the children of Israel. Notice that. He is giving this land to the children of Israel. God is saying, I am giving this to you. And he's saying, we're going to go spy it out and we're going to see what it's like and give a report. Now skip down to verse 17. It says, then Moses sent them to spy out the land. It lists all the people that he chose. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like. Whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not, be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So he gives them instructions and says, this is what I want you to do. We're going to see what this land is like. Now skip down to verse 26. So they go in and they look around. Verse 26. Now they departed and came back to Moses. So they spy it out and they come back. They come back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." Now notice what he says. "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan." So what did he just give? He said, yes, it's a great land, but there are giants there. There are all these people there. We saw the descendants of Anak there. Giants. So they're giving reasons, and they're telling this to the congregation. Now notice verse 30. "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able.'" Contradicted him completely. Now what did God say? "This is the land I am giving you. This is the promised land. I'm sending you there to check it out." What should their response be when they come back? Yes, they are giants, but they should be responding just like Caleb. But notice they're not. Caleb said, "Let's go up at once. Let's not waste any time. We got it. Let's go. We'll take them tonight. They're ours." What's he acting on? God's word? God said it. It's ours. Yeah, they're big, but we'll take them down. We'll mow them down. Isn't that what David did? Yeah, he's big. He's going down. Uncircumcised, no covenant, Philistine. I'm taking him out. But look at the people. Verse 31, "But the men who had gone up said, 'Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. These boys are big. We're not taking them.'" Now that sounds like a rationalization, right? Well, what's he saying? You don't want to go fight these guys. They're big. But it is absolute rebellion against what God, if God said we can take them, we can take them. I don't care what their names are. I don't care how big they are. If God said we're taking them, they're going down. He said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Now, if people are all there and they're listening to this guy, it sounds totally rational that this guy is telling the truth. "Look, I'm just, you know, I know, I believe it would sound more like this. I believe God just as much as all you. But maybe we misunderstood. Maybe we didn't hear him because these guys are really big. And I don't see how we're going to do it. I have no idea how we could ever do this. So, you know, I mean, I know we believe God. And I've heard Moses too. I was there. I heard him say it. I've heard it. But certainly he didn't mean this." This is how it happens. It's subtle. This is how it would happen if this were today. "Yeah, I heard him preach that. Yeah, I've heard him for 20 years. I've listened to all his tapes. But you haven't seen this. We did everything we can do, but it's just not enough. We can't take him. Can't take him, so let's just sit down." "So we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. But we have God." They may be stronger than us, naturally speaking, but God told us. If God told us he knows something we don't, we ought to listen to him. This is rebellion. But you see how subtle it is. It sounds very rational. It says, verse 32, "And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. Then we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in their own sight, and so we were in their sight. They're just talking it up. This is so big, there's no way. Nobody could overtake this. This would be foolish. I know God may have said it, but surely he doesn't want us just going to our death. No, we would be much smarter. It makes much more sense to stay here. Go to the next verse. So the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. Now notice this. This is what happens. Somebody gives a bad report. Oh no, you're right. There's no way. What are we going to do? There is no way we can take this. What are they doing? This is emotion. This sounds very rational. They are in fear. Don't know what they're going to do. But what are they doing? What are they discounting? The word of the living God. Now, nobody, if you told this to people today, go out into the world, they would say, these people are totally rational. I wouldn't go there either. They're being smart. They have it planned out. I wouldn't go either. It'd be foolish to do that. But it's all rebellion. It is all discounting God. It's saying we know more than him. How it's packaged, it's all fear and emotion, and it's wrong. Verse 2, and all the children of Israel complained. Now notice how this happens. They complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. Look, they've lost it now. They want to go back to slavery. Why? This happens over and over in a Christian's life unless they just decide they're going to believe God. And we're always tempted. You will come through something. God will bring you through. And right there, God has said, here you go. This is what you need to do. And you'll be tempted to say, I'd rather go back to where I came from. I don't want to deal with that. And we can deal with all kinds of stuff, and we can get upset and say, I don't know. And then we get in confusion. We go out and round in circles. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know about this. I'd rather go back to slavery rather than deal with this. If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. They want to die now. You ever heard somebody, I'd just rather be better off dead. I just want to die. You're like, I understand you're upset, but get over it. I mean, you don't need to die. But isn't that what fear and just this type of emotion does? It's like there's no hope for anything. But watch it. That can be a cover up for I really don't want to just take steps to do what God actually told me to do. Verse 3. Why? Now listen to this. This is the voice of the accuser. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword? So now it's God's fault. See? It's God's fault that I'm here. God brought me here to die. What are they saying? He's unjust. He doesn't know better. But what is it? It's all really a cover for, whether they know it or not, I don't want to do what he told me to do. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword that our wives, you can hear them, and children should become victims? Can you hear the whine in their voice and just the poor me? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Now they've just gone off the rails. They're actually going to vote somebody in, saying, God's forsaken us. We're going back to these people that cared nothing about us and kept us in slavery. This is the work of the enemy. Verse 5, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation and of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. What's he saying? We're going to devour them. We're taking them out, buddy. He's talking. He's saying, no, God is on our side. He told us to do this. They're nothing. He's talking trash. He's just standing up saying, no, this is nothing. He said, they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them. He's saying they don't know it, but they don't have any protection. They have been given into our hand. And that's the truth. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Now notice what happened. Did they go, you're right. The Lord said this. We ought to change. Let's go. Let's take them now. No. Notice what happened. And the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now they're going to kill them. Now they're going to kill the people that are saying what God said. You see how irrational this is? They're protecting their right to not believe God and to rebel. And we all have to be on guard with this. Because the devil will come in and he'll tell you something. You can't do this because of that and because of that. And if somebody comes and says you can do it, the problem is you just need to stand up and believe God. People want to kill you. They'll defend their right to be sick, to be poor, whatever. They'll say, no, I can't. They literally took stones to kill these people. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Skip down to verse 14. Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to go back to Hebrews. Let's turn back to Hebrews. We'll close back there. Hebrews 4. And you know later then, all those people, except Caleb and Joshua, they died. They never entered in. They stayed there and wandered around and around and around and around and never entered in. Because they would not believe God. And it wasn't a matter of, well, that's just so hard to believe God. It's a matter of God had already looked ahead, made provision with them. All their job was to say, yes, sir, I'm going in. And watch them get mown down because they don't have any protection left. The God of the universe is on their side. It was not about, well, I'm just going to try so hard to believe God, and that's just too hard, so I'm not. No, it's a matter of just obeying and saying, God, you said it. You're smarter than me. Yes, sir. Here I go. That's the attitude we ought to have. That's how we get built stronger and stronger, is just believing him, acting on him, doing what he said to do. Just doing his word. If he tells us to do something, we step up and do it. Hebrews 4, verse 1, said, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it, for indeed the gospel was preached to us all, as well as to them. Oh, we go back. Look, skip back to let's go back to verse 15 of chapter 3. It says, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see they could not enter in because the giants were too big for them. So we see they could not enter in because these guys had way more numbers. They were more numerous. We see that they couldn't enter in because these guys were entrenched there for years and the Israelites were newcomers. It doesn't say any of that. It says they could not enter in because they did not believe God. Period. They didn't believe. They just, it's not a, I can't believe, they won't believe. They won't decide, yes, that's what I'm going to do and I'm coming in. Because their mind is in the way and they look at all these natural things. So verse 1, chapter 4, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us, well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. The word wasn't mixed with faith. So they heard it, but they didn't do anything with it. They didn't act on it. They didn't jump up and say, yes, I can do it. Skip down to verse 14. We'll close with this. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but who was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Bible says that we have a high priest that knows what we're going through. He knows if we're going to get pushed. He knows if there's circumstances that are in front of us going, just like those giants say, there's no way you're coming through here. You might as well turn back. He knows that. But he says, look to him. Go to him and say, God, I don't see how I'm going through here. This looks way too big, but I know you told me to go here. God, I need your help. I need your grace. Lord, help me. And he said, you'll find grace in time of need. He said, he'll strengthen you. He'll come up. The Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I need help, God. If the Israelites would have listened to Joshua and Caleb and said, you're right. Those boys are big, but we can take them. You're right. We can take them. And they started talking like that instead of the fear sweeping through everybody. The faith would have, they would all started saying, yeah, you're right. If they would have fallen in and said, we can take them. We can take them. Our God is mighty. We're taking them. Let's go now. They would have taken them. I'm convinced of it. Otherwise, God's a liar. God said, you can take them. If they would have said, yes, we could have taken them, they would have taken them and it would have been a different story. Joshua and Caleb eventually went in 40 years later. In their 80s, and they said, we're still ready, we're still strong, we're going in. We have a choice, guys. Every time in our life, every day in our life, and it's subtle, the enemy is going to try to push us and try to lay down and try to not keep pushing on with God's plan for our life. But if we'll just stand up and say, no, he told me, I don't see how, Jesus, help me. God, help me. I am going to do your word, though. I'm not going to lay down. I'm not going to be deceived by it looking too big. I'm not going to be deceived by it looking too hard. Those are all tactics to get me to disobey you and to basically shipwreck my life for the next 20 years in the life of my family. I'm not going to do it. I'm going forward. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what I feel like. I'm going to do your word. Lord, help me to do it. Lord, strengthen me right now. Help me. Give me wisdom. Give me insight. Give me knowledge. Give me your battle plan, but I'm for sure going in. And he will. And that's when we see stuff happen. We come and walk up and we say, I don't know how. I don't know how. But boom, we step and stuff parts. We see it over and over in the Word. I've seen it over and over in my life. God is true and faithful. He never will hang us out to dry. The enemy will tell you he's hung you out to dry this time. He came back here, but he's not coming here. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. You just say, nope, my God is faithful. He's never failed me. This isn't going to be the first time. I'm going on and just keep marching on. Hallelujah. We are not those of those that draw back. Amen. Believe in God, being built up, being stronger every day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, God, for your strength and your mercy. Thank you for your word that shows us, gives us a picture. The Bible says that those things were written for our examples so that we could see what to do, what not to do. Lord, your word very clearly tells us that if we'll just follow your instructions, we'll be blessed. Lord, we just purpose in our heart to be doers of your word. Lord, we know you're a just and faithful God. You'll never put too much on our plate. You only give us what we can handle. We will not be tempted beyond what we can bear, the Bible says. We choose to take you at your word and we say, we can do it. Whatever fate we're facing right now, we say, we can do it. Purpose in your heart right now. If there's some giant standing in front of you right now and telling you you're not coming by, you just purpose in your heart. If God's told you to go by, you're going by. Just purpose it in your heart right now. Don't entertain any thoughts or any suggestions any longer that tell you you can't make it. They are lies to try to get you off track, to try to get you to quit, to try to get you sidetracked for the next X number of years or months or weeks, to get you stagnant, to get you blaming God, to get you blaming your spouse, to get you blaming your kids, to get you blaming your employer, everything but just going on with what he said. Just purpose in your heart. Let's all purpose in our heart. We're going to be doers of the word. If something has stuck out to us, and God has prompted us some direction in his word that we need to tweak in our life, don't put it off. We just make this purpose in our hearts. We're going to do it. God, I'll change. I'll make the adjustment. Regardless of my feelings, regardless of what I think I can or cannot do, I can do it if you've told me to do it. And I will be blessed in everything I do. And I will keep going up, and I will keep growing, and my family's going to be blessed, and we're going to be blessed more next year than we were this year, and the year following that, we're going to be even more blessed, and we're going to be stronger, and we're going to be more stable, and we're going to just keep going up with you because we choose to just take you at your word and follow your instructions. Amen.